This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
Father, we just want to thank you, Lord. We want to honor you, Father God, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, that we can come, we can be in your presence, Father, and together as a fellowship, Lord. And we just pray that now we can leave beside us all the distractions, Father, everything that we did before we came and what we're going to do after, Father. And we just want to commit this time to you, Lord, to hear from you, Father God, but also to lift up our praises, to just come and worship you, Lord, because you deserve it.
I want to take a few minutes of your time, Lord, before we start singing. I just felt pressed to share something about what I encountered in the past 2 weeks. And I was reading a book, and in this book, he refers to Luke. I don't know the exact verse, but it talks about bearing good fruit. It says a good tree bears good fruit and a bad tree bears bad fruit. And but the end of that, it says, but out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth will flow. And it's been sticking with me. I think I've been sharing it to everyone because I'm so excited about it. But I've been reading another book, and in the same book, he refers to that again. And I was so challenged because the words that come out of our mouth are so powerful. And sometimes we forget about that. So this book says, and I was kind of agreeing, because it says, when we lash out in anger and we say things that are hurtful, we won't say anything that wasn't already in our hearts. So it's our hearts that need to change. We can't change our circumstances, but it's our hearts and how we react to that and how we speak to that. And then I was encouraged because when God spoke the world into being, it was his words. And in the power of words, the earth was made. And he breathed life into Adam. And how powerful our words can be. And when we speak life, we declare truth, we speak truth, it will build up our spirits, it will build up our hearts. And when we speak negativity, there's something in our hearts that need to change. And that's something I'm talking to myself too. So I was so encouraged by it. So when we sing today, think about what you're singing. Think about the words you're singing. Because it's not just songs and good tunes and stuff, but we're singing truth. And we're singing to a God who lives, and a God who's alive and who's powerful. Yeah, so thank you. I'm just going to pray for us again. Father, we thank you for words and our breath. And Lord, thank you that as we sing, that our breath and our words will glorify you, Father. It will bring you glory. It will bring you the glory you deserve, Father. And we thank you. And we're speaking truth and we're speaking life today, Father. May you be put onto your rightful place today, Father. Thank you that you're with us. Thank you that you're here, Father. And we desire only to give you glory, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. At your name, the mountains shake and crumble. At your name, the oceans roar and tumble. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice. And the people cry out, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name, filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord, at your name. Morning breaks in glory. At your name, creation sings your glory. At your name, angels will bow, the earth will rejoice, your people cry out. Lord of all the earth, we shout your praise, filling up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all, Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Up the skies with endless praise, Yahweh, Yahweh, we
someone like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, and there is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise you. There's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. Lord of all the earth, we shout your name, shout your name. Filling up the skies with endless praise, endless praise. Yahweh, Yahweh, we love to shout your name, oh Lord. And there is no one like our God. We will praise you, praise. There's no one like our God. We will sing, and there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing, there is no one like our God. We will praise you, there's no one like our God. We will sing.
Worthy of honor and glory, worthy.
sound, light in this broken world. Overflowing, every victory is yours. Overflowing, every victory is yours. Savior, worthy of honor and glory, worthy of all of our praise, you overcame. Awesome and power forever. Awesome and great is your name. You overcame, Savior. Worthy of honor and glory. Worthy of all of our praise.
stars they move, the morning sun will set, the Savior of the world was forever. His body on the cross, his blood poured out for us, the rain of every curse upon him.
We sing hallelujah, the Lamb is overcome. Father, you've got an appointment with us. We've got an encounter with you. We've got a divine appointment with you, Father. We want to listen what is on your heart. How much love you've got, what you would like to share with us today, Father. And we come with an expectation. And I bind all the things which are in our head at the moment of what happened earlier today or maybe this week, Father, that we can focus, that we can just focus on what you want to share with us today, Father. Because it's important. We want to come closer to you. We want to know you. We want to be with you because we're going to be it forever and ever and ever. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask you to do something on your own. You don't have to share it with the person next to you. If we can just get the next slide. I'm going to ask you to put yourself on that scale of humility and pride. Are you totally on the one side, that you're humble? Or are you totally on the other side, that there's a lot of pride in you, that you're proud? Or you're floating somewhere in between, 70-30 or 50-50 or something like that? Just have a look at it and place yourself somewhere on that scale. Just think a little bit about it. How do you evaluate yourself? Just keep that one. And then later on in the sermon, we're going to come back to that one. Humility is the opposite of pride. It's totally the opposite of pride, where humility is faith and where pride is fear. Those two are also totally opposite of each other. You're or totally on the one side or you're totally on the other side. But we battle sometimes. We battle, then we move a little bit from humility to pride, and now and then that pride is coming through, and then we are smacked, and then we go back again to humility, and we obey, and we just do what we're told to do. Saint Augustine apparently made this statement. It was pride that changed angels into devils, because the devil, he was pride, and he was kicked out of heaven. But it is humility that makes man as angels. So we've got to be humble. And a helpful definition as well of humility is found in Romans 12 verses 3, where it says, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, as God has dealt to each one measure of faith. So we don't have to think about ourselves higher than other people. We've got to submit ourselves. We've got to not be proud, but we've got to be humble. And humility is actually a reflection of how important we see ourselves in relation with God, but also in relation with the others around us. And then we see words in the Bible, humility, humbleness, meekness. Now, I'm going to make it a little bit easier this afternoon and say all of them are more or less the same. I'm not going to focus on any differences, because if I'm going to focus on differences, then we've got to add another hour or two, and I think certain people would like to go home a little bit earlier and not at 8 or 10 o'clock this evening. But what humility, humbleness, and meekness, what they've got in common, is there's an absence of a feeling of superiority. You do not feel superior to what the others are. It's not that you say, I'm better than that one, or I'm better than that one. You're not doing that. You're also putting yourself lower in position to it, what others is concerned. And that is something which is difficult for us, because we normally always want to fight, and we always want to say, well, I'm that good, and I place myself over there, and I'm not going to lower myself anything lower than that. Humility is also the absence of pride. If we're really humble, then there's no pride in us. And then we're also more interested in the other person is what we are interested in ourselves. Those who are still dating, they will most probably say, yes, I can understand it. Those who are married, they say, yes, I remembered. But we've got to be interested in the other person. That's what God wants, that we should be with the people around us. We should be interested in them. But humility doesn't mean that we are a carpet, that somebody can just walk over us. That's not the case. And as I was preparing for the sermon this afternoon, I really found something which it made sense to me. And why the Lord has put this word on my mind that I had to preach about it, I don't know. I'm also learning something out of it. But it's really what God is asking, that we should be humble, that we should show humility. And God wants us that we should show humility. Now, I'm going to look at a few people in the Bible who showed humility, who were humble. And I would like to summarize it at the end and see, yeah, what can we actually learn from those people. Now, the first one what I would like to stop with is Moses. Because about Moses, it says Moses was very humble, more than all men on earth. And the story what I'm just going to have a look at now with Moses is telling us a little bit of how being humble, that we not should directly react if something is happening to us, that we should try to defend, but that we should give an opportunity to God to turn it around, that it is actually benefiting us. It starts in Numbers 12. Miriam and Aaron spoke against Moses because of the Ethiopian woman he had married, for he had married an Ethiopian woman. Why they put it twice, I don't know. But then, so they said, has the Lord indeed spoken only through Moses? Has he not spoken through us also? And the Lord heard it. Now the man Moses was very humble, more than all men who were on the face of the earth. So this guy was humble. If it's written in the Bible, then you must accept it that this was humble. Now we've got to imagine what is happening now. His brother and his sister, who were commissioned along with him to take the Israelites out of Egypt. Moses' brother and sister are now standing up against him. They've got certain comments what they want to make about Moses, who married Ethiopian woman. And I think we can also experience that in our own lives. Family very close to us, that they've got comments about us, what we are doing. Because what he's been doing is nothing wrong. Miriam, her name has been written first. She most probably was the one who started with it, and most probably went to Aaron and said, Aaron, have you seen what Moses has been doing now? this is totally unacceptable. And then they say as well, has God not spoken to us also? And then to read what is actually in between. I don't think I actually read it. And the Lord heard it. The Lord was over there. And then if you take a look at the story, then the Lord is summoning all three of them. He says, come, come, I want to speak to you. And then the Lord is speaking to them. And then he says to them, I, the Lord, make myself known to him as a vision if there's a prophet. And I speak to him in a dream, but not so with Moses. With Moses, I'm speaking face to face. In other languages, it says, I'm speaking mouth to mouth. So it's not that Moses is first speaking to another person, and then that person is speaking to Moses. No, he's speaking mouth to mouth, face to face with Moses. Now, this Miriam and Aaron are now having any comments on it. And what's beautiful out of it is that humility, what we can see from Moses. Because if I was Moses, I would have most probably, because he had a stick, we've read about it before, I must have said, I'll show you who I am. He was anointed one of God. He has been given the instructions to get the Israelites out of Egypt. And then his brothers and sisters are now coming and trying to get the carpet out of underneath him away. But the Lord knew it. Miriam got leprosy. But then again, what did Moses do? He prayed for her. He didn't say, you looked for it. It's your own fault. You shouldn't fiddle around with anointed ones of God. No, he didn't say it. He was on his knees. He said, Lord, heal her. 7 days, there was leprosy. So the whole camp waited 7 days till it was over. And then they carried on again. So there we could see the humility of Moses. And that Moses was humble. Was Moses then one who didn't really stand up? No, he stood up. At a certain time, when Moses, when he left Egypt and when he was in the desert, then there were 7 daughters of the priest Midian, and they went and they were filling the troughs with water so that they could give water to their father's flock. And then other shepherds came and they wanted to chase them away. And Moses was seeing that. And Moses was standing up. Now, I know that if there are 7 women, and if they are beautiful women, then the men are standing up. They are prepared to do something. They are prepared to show their muscles. And Moses has been doing it. He stood up. And he chased them away. So how many have been there, shepherds? We don't know. It could be 3, 4. But he stood up, and he chased them away. Because he was standing up for something which was done wrong over there. And he wanted to rectify it. So he said, no, it's not possible. If it was his dress, because he just came out of Egypt where he killed a person so that they could see he had an kingly type of dress that they saw, but wait a moment, this guy has got status, we better obey, we don't know. But there we can see he was humble on the one side, but part of humility is also that he was standing up. The next one I would like to talk about is Jesus. Jesus was perfect, Son of God, Son of Man. There's nothing, I should say, what we can say anything wrong, but it's beautiful what God has been doing, that he sent Jesus so that Jesus could die for our sins. And then the first part, what I would like to look again is how Jesus was showing humility is on his way to the cross. Matthew 27, 39 and 41 and 44. And those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. And likewise, the chief priests also, mocking with their scribes and elders, said, and even the robbers who were crucified with him reviled, which also means blasphemed, with the same thing. So from what Jesus has been arrested, as what he went to the cross, it was continuously negative stuff which was spoken over Jesus. Continuously. There were only 2 people who spoke something about him which was truth, which was Judas and Pilate. Both of them said he's innocent. But the others, they were mocking him. They were talking bad about Jesus because they were attacking Jesus. They were attacking that identity what Jesus had. But Jesus didn't do anything. He could do something, what he also said. Or do you think that I cannot now pray to my Father and he will provide me with more than 12 legions of angels? I don't know how many legions or, but it must be sufficient enough for chasing those people away. But he didn't do it. Because it says, how then could scripture be fulfilled that it must happen to us? So Jesus was showing humility that scripture could be fulfilled. Jesus was humble, he was showing humility, but Jesus was also offensive. Jesus was talking to the religious leaders and he was calling them brood of vipers. Now, if you've got religious leaders and you speak to them like that, that's actually not a compliment. That's really bad. Brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Well, it's the same as what Marco just now said in Luke, that it is coming out of our heart. So those people, those religious leaders, they were not interested in what God was saying. They were interested which was benefiting them. And then other people, not other people, the same religious leaders, he's calling them sons of the devil. Even worse. So Jesus is actually showing humility through that. And it maybe sounds very strange. But he's saying the correct words. He's saying the truth. And it's part of humility. Humility is not to submit yourself and to obey other people and all that. But humility is also to stand up and to say and to do a thing if it has got to be done. What he says about the devil, the sons of the devil, you are of your father the devil, and the desire of your father you want to do. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own resources, for he's a liar and the father of it. That is the devil. He's the father of the liar. And then also to the crowd and even to his own disciples, Jesus told them, you're faithless and perverse generation. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me. That is with a son which had to be healed. Again, humility has got two sides. Something had to be done. Scripture had to be fulfilled. And he humbled himself. People were swearing at him. They were mocking him, but he didn't react on it because something had to be done which was correct. But on the other side, Jesus was also speaking the truth. He was saying words which had to be said. And the religious leaders, they had to hear it. And the other two I would like to speak about is Paul and Peter. Paul is publicly rebuking Peter, and he's telling Peter what Peter is doing wrong. That was in Galatians 2, and then a little bit later in Galatians, he's talking about Galatians, and he said, you're foolish. So he's also telling the people what he thinks what they are. Humble people do not always say nice things. Humble people do not always say nice things. And that's something that I would like you, that you should remember it. And I'm going to come back a little bit later to it. And it is, for us, we would say humble people, oh, it's the top of a doormat, you can walk over it. And no, they can say things which are not going to be nice. Peter also says something about clothing with humility. Likewise, you younger people, and I think, oh no, not all of them, but the majority of you are younger than what I am, submit yourself to your elders. Yes, all of you, be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. And then he says what they've got to do. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking who he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. So what can we learn from Moses, from Jesus, from Paul, from Peter? When we are humble, we are outward focused. We're not inward focused. It's not about yourself. It's about the other people around you. Another beautiful picture of it is they say that pride people want to have mirrors around them because they just want to see themselves. They just want to see themselves, how strong they are, how many muscles they've got and all those type of things and how beautiful they are. And then the mirrors around them is also the other people, what people are saying about them. This is with proud people. That's what they're looking for. Because they want to do the right thing. They want to read the right book. They want to go and watch the right movie and stay in the right place and have the right car and all those type of things which are complimenting them, which are saying, wow. So the proud people have got mirrors around them, which is all for them. The humble people have got windows around them. They want to look outside. They want to see what is outside, what is happening over there. It's not about them. It's about looking out. How can I see the glory of God? How can I see God's glory in other people? And that was for me actually, yeah, a beautiful explanation of the difference between pride, proud people and humble people. Yeah, that mirror and the glass. So tomorrow morning when I'm standing in front of the mirror, I'll think about it again. Offensiveness, being offensive. If we get a proud person when he's offensive, he will let you know he's offensive. He will immediately react and he will tell you and he will actually be so, throw so many words over you and he will manipulate you and he will actually talk you into the ground. But offensiveness of a humble person is speaking the truth, but also speaking what has got to be spoken. And it's sometimes not nice that we hear those type of things. But they have got to be spoken. And sometimes people will take offense from those words as well. They say, yeah, but that person has said this and this and this. If it's the truth, then you had to hear it. Then you had to hear it. The psalm, what I would like to have a look at now is Psalm 37. And have a look at humility. Psalm 37 verse 11 says, but the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And it's most probably the verse which is Jesus is quoting when he's on the Sermon on the Mountain where he's saying, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. But what is it actually now? What is it to be meek, to be humble, to show humility? And if we go back to Psalm 37 a little bit earlier in verses 5 to 8, then we see certain words which are describing what we've got to do if we are going to be humble, if we're going to be meek, if we're showing humility. I'm first going to read the verse and then I'm going to quickly stop at a few words. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. And he shall bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your justice as the noonday. Rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. Do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who brings wicked schemes to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only causes harm. First verse in 5, it says over there, commit your way to the Lord. Commit is coming from a Hebrew word which is saying rolling. Like we've been singing, rolling the stone was rolled away. It's the same what you're doing. You're rolling. So you're basically bringing whatever is causing a problem for you. If it's your business, if it is your relationship, if it's your health, if it's your fears, if it's your frustration or anything like that, you roll it to God. You're not keeping it yourself, but you're rolling it to God. So commit your way to the Lord. So bring all your stuff to the Lord. Don't sit and have it heavy loaded on your shoulders that you've got a bag full of stuff. No. Bring it to the Lord. This is where it belongs. The next one says, trust also in him. Trust, yeah, that is a thing where you totally trust another person with everything. I trust my wife with my credit card. I trust my wife with a car. I trust my wife with everything. I trust her. But this is actually how it should be. Not with a toolbox. No. Other stuffs you can have. I trust her with it. because she knows how to use it, and that's awesome. And this is what we've got to do with God as well. We can't say, God, nah, I think this one, no, you won't be able to handle it. I'm not going to give it to you. I'll keep it and I'll sort it out myself. No, trust him. Give everything to him. Everything, nothing. Nothing you must keep for yourself. Give everything to him. Then it says, rest in the Lord and wait for him. It doesn't mean that after you've repented, you're baptized and you're filled with the Holy Spirit, that you can just sit and wait now for Jesus coming back. No. That doesn't say over here. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for him. The word wait means diligently seek him. So you're continuously seeking him. You're continuously seeking God's face. You continuously want to know more about him. That's what this word means. Wait patiently for him and rest in the Lord. It gives you peace because you know who you are. We've been praying it just now as well for the two ladies who were baptized. They are now daughters, daughters of God, in whom he's well pleased. And you can say it to you each and every day because God has said it to you. And that's giving you peace. That's giving you a rest. That's what we also should have when we are meek or when we are humble. Do not fret. Do not be irritated. Do not be absorbed over the wicked. We have a look at the wicked people and we see how rich they are, how many cars they've got. They've got so many houses everywhere. It's a this and a that and all that. We can mention it so many times. You can have a look at the magazines about people who are in a limelight of where they've got houses, what islands they've got, how many planes they've got, and all those type of things. And you actually get a little bit irritated and you get a little bit absorbed by it and you feel a certain amount of jealousy. No, leave it. Don't spend your time on it. And if you've got such a type of magazine, unsubscribe your subscription and stop with it as you're reading it. Don't ever look at other people. Look at God. Because he has made you so rich, but rich with a capital, which they haven't got. Cease from anger. My son Jan Willem is over here today. And his name is Derek Jan Willem. And my name is also Derek Jan. And my dad's name is also Derek Jan. And it's a family name. Eh? Yeah. And at a certain time when deliverance was done, I had to repent, and I could repent of it. Because there was a certain connotation to that name which I could cut off and which didn't have then afterwards any influence anymore on me anymore. I was a guy who could get angry. Very, very fast. And then you say, you angry? Can't be. Yes. Very short tempered. But I could pray it off and it stopped. And sometimes it wants to pop up again, but I just smile. And I just pull up my shoulders. No, I'm not going to adhere to that. Jan Willem could do exactly the same. And it also stopped. Carly is confirming it. Yeah. And that's something beautiful what can be done. We can do it. We can cease from anger. It's not necessary too for us to become angry. Forsake wrath. Oh, that's for us. We love it to do it. If somebody has done something bad to us, then we've got all type of different things what we're going to do to get that person back again. And we'll even give them with interest, with a lot of interest. We will even double the interest if necessary. We will go back again to the person. No. Wrath is not for us, it's for God. Vindication is for God, it's not for us. Now if we take a look at these type of things and we say, this has got to be included in meekness, this has got to be included in being humble, in humility. And if I take a look at it, and if I take a look at that scale again, what we had in the beginning, no, I'm not totally in the humility side, I'm still battling. But it doesn't matter. There's always space for improvement. Receiving the word of with humility and meekness. In James 1, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness, receive with humility, the implanted word which is able to save your souls. Humbleness, it starts with God. If we haven't got God, it's very difficult for us to be humble, because that human thing will always pop up and will always come in. Another one which I actually forgot to remember is, it says over there as well, slow to speak. That's also what humility should be. We should listen more and speak less. Proud people, most of the time, are speaking more and listening less. But we've got to be humble. So yes, if we go back again to the percentage of the humility and the pride, what I showed in the beginning, then you most probably, as what I said just now myself as well, I'm not there where I've got to be. But I know what I've got to do. And it's going to take me time, and sometimes I maybe battle with certain things, but this is what God wants us to do, that we should be humble. Not that we're going to be walked over, but that we can stand up, and that we also can speak if it's necessary. So humility actually has got two legs. The one is that we've got to be clothed with humility, like I just now said. You've got to commit your way to God, trust Him, rest in the Lord and wait for Him. Do not be irritated with the wicked who've got enough of money and a lot of cars and all that. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. And on the other side, we've got to speak the truth. If it is necessary that we've got to speak the truth. Sometimes we are a little bit hesitant to speak the truth because we would like to please people. But if it's about God's case, then we shouldn't be quiet. We should speak up and we should say whatever has got to be said. We've had it a few times that people were going to be baptized. But they knew if they were going to tell the parents were going to be angry. Or when they've told the parents, that the parents said, you're not going to be baptized. But then they come in a situation and say, okay, but what must I do now? Must I, for relational case, keep quiet and submit to my parents? Or say, Lord, this is what your word says. And if your word says I've got to be baptized, I've got to repent, be baptized and be filled with the Holy Spirit, then I've got to do it. Then they've got to speak up. You're not going to be welcomed by your parents, most probably. They will say, no, what are you doing now, and this and that. But that's the truth. And it's also not that you're pride and that you say, but I know now better, it has got to be done. No. You're just obedient. And that's part of it, by speaking the truth, that we've got to open our mouth and say, but this is the truth. It sometimes hurts. Sometimes people are offended. And they say, but you said this, and no. What is important is that we are saying what God is telling us to do. That's the truth. To do these type of things, something has got to change. We've got to change. Our mind has got to change. Philippians 2, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of man, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Jesus humbled himself. He had all the reasons. He was Son of God to stand up and say, I want to be in a 5-star hotel and this. No, he humbled himself. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of cross. We've got to change and to become more like what Christ has done, or what Christ's example is. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. And I want to finish off with C.S. Lewis, who said, humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. Humility is not thinking less of yourself, but thinking of yourself less. It's difficult. This world is telling us we must think about ourselves, and there are so many books available about motivation and the I, the me, and the myself. But this is not what God wants. God wants that we should be humble. That we shouldn't think about ourselves, but that we should think about the brother and the sister next to it. Can I ask you to stand? Heavenly Father, we come to you, and as we started in the beginning of the sermon and we saw the percentages and where we placed ourselves, we knew we were not there where you wanted us to be, Father. And it includes all of us. There's not 1%, one person who's 100% humble over here, Father. But it doesn't matter. We know you, and we know what you want us to do, that we should trust you, Father, and put all our faith in you. And I pray as well, Father, that this is going to happen with us in the time to come. It will be less of ourselves and more of the people around us, Father. And as all eyes are closed, I'm sending out an invitation now. If you may be here and you say, yes, I heard about it, what God has done, Jesus died for us at the cross, but I never taken that decision. I never humbled myself. I never went on my knees before God, the Creator. I've never accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Then I'm giving you the opportunity now to raise your hand that we can pray along with you, that you can accept Jesus Christ as your Savior, God the Creator, as your Father, and that you want to repent of all things what has been done wrong by you in the past. And if that's you, then I'm asking you to raise your hand. Then the next one is where I feel that if you're here and if you say, yes, this is the one which was specifically for me today. I've come over here because I had to hear this message. I'm battling with it. It was all about me, my pride, what I've attained, my degrees, my bank salary, of my bank account, my houses, my cars, whatever I've got. And I've got just mirrors around me, and I'm far away of what God wants me to be. And you feel that the Lord is speaking to you, then I'm inviting you that you can come to the front, that you can bring it to the Father, and that we can pray in agreement with you. And feel free to come forward, and as we're going to hear a few songs now, we will be here to pray with you. If there's anything from this sermon that you would like to bring to the Father, please come forward that we can pray along with you. If it's for healing, or even if it's for that you want to stand proxy for somebody else who's ill, and you would like to bring that person, that we can pray for that person as you're standing proxy, then please come forward. Heavenly Father, we want to humble ourselves. We want to focus just on you, not on ourselves, but on you and the people around us, Father, our brothers and sisters. We pray that this week, Father, we will have the opportunity to do that, to put it in practice. And that the life around us is going to change from mirrors to windows. And that we can start seeing your glory, Father, and that we can get a smile on our face, and that we can be happy because we know that you're working through us. Thank you, Father, that humility is starting with you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul, worship his holy name, sing like never before, oh my soul, I'll worship your holy name. It's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me,
You're in my life.
so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. Oh, yes, we do. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on. Came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let the lady sing.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us.
Now everyone.
From heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Let the men sing.
Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I love to sing your praises. I'm so glad you're in my life. I'm so glad you came to save us,
everyone.
You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name. You came from heaven to earth to show the way, from the earth to the cross, my debt to pay, from the cross to the grave, from the grave to the sky. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high. Lord, I lift your name on high.
Lord, we thank you that you give us life. Father, may our life songs bring you glory, Father. May our life's goal be to bring you glory, to lift up your name. And Father, we ask you to humble us, to make us humble, that we may be lights in this world, Father. We thank you and we praise your name, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.